You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and the world. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, as always, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. If there was ever a time in which Christians needed to learn discernment skills, it is now. And that is precisely the mission of the Christian Research Institute. And to that end, we have some fantastic resources available to you. You can get these resources for your support. Check out the details on the web. Again, equip.org. A lot of you calling in from all over the place. Let's talk first to Michael in Henderson, Tennessee. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. It's hard to find a stand-up man like you that will actually, I don't want to belittle another religious program, but can you give me some history on Jim Baker? It seems like I remember him being in jail in the past, and now his show is like a QVC channel where he scares people about the end times and then sells products, generators and food that last 30 years and stuff like that.
Sure. You know, I wrote about Jim Baker in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And the reason I mentioned him in that book is because after he got out of jail, he renounced the word of faith prosperity gospel that he had been preaching, the health and the wealth gospel, and he did it in no uncertain terms. And I had hoped in those days that he had genuinely repented of selling sensationalism, sophistry, and the torture of Scripture. But unfortunately, he is back to his old ways, and he is doing precisely the things that he himself said were detrimental to the historic Christian faith. So an unreliable minister, an unreliable ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Phil in Columbia, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I had a question regarding David. There's a passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel 8:4. David captured 1,700 horsemen. He defeated the king Hadadez. And in Chronicles 18:4, it says he kept, in the same incident, he captured 7,000 horsemen. Why is there a difference in those two numbers, or are you acquainted with that?
You know, I am. I looked at this a long time ago, and I recall that my response to this was that this is a copyist error embedded in the text. And I think that, again, I'd have to go back and look at my research on it, but I think that the number given in 1 Chronicles chapter 18 would be the correct number.
1 Chronicles 18, okay. Would this answer be in your Has God Spoken book? Would you cover that in that?
Well, I cover in substance this kind of thing, which is to say that Christians believe that the Bible is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. But when we say that, we're not claiming that for the translations, we're claiming that for the autographs. And by and large, through the science of textual criticism, you can get back to the autographa. This is certainly true in the New Testament and mostly true in the Old Testament as well. But you should not be surprised at all that there would be copyist errors from time to time. Most of them, as I said, have been resolved through the science of textual criticism. But now there's even mistakes in the Old Testament scriptures. If you look at, let's say, the King James Version, in contrast to some of the newer versions. And again, the reason is that we have information now that we didn't have then. A classic case in point would be 1 Samuel 13:21. In the 1600s, when King James I had commissioned the King James Version of the Bible, a PIM was supposed by KJV translators to refer to a file that was used to sharpen tools. But as a result of archaeological discoveries in the 20th century, translators now know PIM, P-I-M, actually refers to the price charged for sharpening tools like axes and goads and the like. So advances in the knowledge of the languages has helped us in being more precise in the translation process. But obviously, these kinds of mistakes do not in any way affect any substantive matter of dogma or doctrine.
I didn't think so. Like when insects are on all fours and it talks about birds being on all fours, I have atheist friends are saying the Bible can't be true because birds don't walk on four legs. You're acquainted with those scriptures, aren't you, where it talks about the insects on all fours and then there's something about the birds on all fours. I'm constantly getting this thrown at me by an atheist saying if these textual or these errors are there, the Bible can't be true.
Yeah, and this is all a function of a man named Bart Ehrman. He's the one that popularized this kind of thinking, although the thinking certainly predated him, but he has made a cottage industry out of looking at these kinds of texts and saying, of course the Bible has to be faulty, going as far as to say that Jesus himself had to be a false messianic prophet. Reason being is, and this is the classic example that he gives over and over ad nauseum ad infinitum, the idea of the mustard seed. Jesus said the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. We know that orchid seeds are smaller than mustard seeds, and therefore Jesus had to be a false prophet. He couldn't have been God. If he was God, he would have known that. So what he's done, and this is classic of what he does all over the place, is he's taken a metaphor or an extended simile, a parable, and he's tried to make that parable walk on all fours. All Jesus in context was doing was saying that a mustard seed is very, very small, becomes large, and birds can nest in its branches. By the way, the orchid seed doesn't fit the metaphor of the extended simile. But these guys are fundamentalists from the left, and they want the text to walk on all fours. You know, I'm surprised when one of his students says it's raining cats and dogs outside, he doesn't ask him how big the cats are and what color the dogs are. This is simply nitpicking, to maybe use an unfortunate pun. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tracy in Texas. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't know I'd be nervous. This is different. I want to ask you if the same crowd that praised Jesus as he came into town on the donkey, is that some of the same crowd that cried, crucify him?
Yes. This is the same crowd. These are the same people. That doesn't mean that every single person in the crowd is identical, but this is the sentiment that changes, and that's what is being communicated in the Synoptic Gospels. First of all, you have people who believe that Jesus is going to establish a Jewish theocracy, and they want that desperately. But now later on, when he's being crucified, they realize that he can't do what they thought he was going to do, and now they turn on Jesus Christ, and they cry, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children. Because this is precisely what they wanted. They wanted a Jewish theocracy. They wanted what they had in the Old Testament to be reestablished in the New. And what is interesting about this is that we have people today that want the same things. In fact, you can predate that and say even the disciples wanted that. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and the disciples come up to him and say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And of course, what Jesus does is reorient their thinking from a restored Jewish state to a kingdom that knows no bounds. They are to leave Jerusalem. They are to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and never entertain the idea of establishing a Jewish theocracy again. Many people, however, as I said, in the present, are making the same mistake as the disciples did. They want Jesus to come back and establish a Jewish theocracy. But that is not what Jesus will come back to do. When Christ comes back, what he said very clearly will happen. The meek will inherit the earth. And that ultimately is what we look forward to and long for, the time that Christ himself will live with us, when he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things are now new. We'll be right back with more.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through his people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7.
To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ashley, listening in Marysville, Washington, KCIS. Hi.
I have a question for you. So my dad, he thinks all religions are cults and all this stuff, and he brought up the Christian Crusades, and I'm a new Christian, so I kind of, I guess, wanted to know what that was, because he's saying, oh, yeah, well, Christians are so good. Well, they're... What about the Christian Crusades? Were they killed people or something?
Sure, and I think what's important when someone says that is to give them some context. And unfortunately, many people bring up either the Crusades or the Inquisition. If you ask them for some context themselves, they don't have any. So maybe it's helpful to provide some of that context for them. I have written about this in various forums, as has the Christian Research Institute. But here's the bottom line. You know, Christianity advanced by the word. And in a very short period of time, it encompassed large geographic areas of land. Islam came along in the 7th century and took by the sword what Christianity had won by the word. And so the context is this. After centuries of Islamic jihad, Muslims had taken all of North Africa. They'd taken the Middle East, Asia Minor, most of Spain. Put another way, by the end of the 11th century, the forces of Islam had captured two-thirds of the Christian world. And that includes Palestine, the home of Jesus Christ, Egypt, the birthplace of Christian monasticism, Asia Minor, where the Apostle Paul planted the seeds of the first Christian communities. And these were not the periphery of Christianity. This was its core. So as far as aggression is concerned, it was largely Islamic. At some point, what was left of the Christian world had to defend itself or simply succumb to Islamic conquest. And that is precisely what happened with respect to the Crusades. Crusades were largely a defensive reaction to Islam conquering the lands won by the word, by the sword. This was Islamic aggression. And I think when you provide that kind of context for your father, it will be very helpful for him, at least if he's open to listen.
Yeah, no, it's very helpful for me, too. So I will definitely talk to him about that. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. And there's a transcendent distinction between jihad, as mandated by Sharia, and just war, as delineated by centuries of Christian theology. All just wars obviously have to be waged justly. They have to be formally declared by an authority recognized as having the power to make this kind of a declaration, a legitimate authority, and they must not be entered into lightly or for self-aggrandizement. It has to be for a legally sound reason. World War II met those qualifications, thus was a just war. Now, in all wars, whether you talk about World War II, you can find injustices. You can find, we'll call them aberrations in terms of the main purpose. And you can find the same thing in the Crusades. So this is not a whitewashing of the Crusades. This is simply providing a historical context. Unfortunately, this world is riddled with people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips, but their actions belie their confessions. So this is a complex issue, but oftentimes when you catch someone talking about the Crusades and the Inquisition, they can't even name how many Crusades there were or what centuries they took place in. Same thing with the Inquisition. They simply have no clue whatsoever. They're simply spouting something they heard, and that's unfortunate. Let's go back to the phone callers. Next up is Jeffrey, listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Hank. I have a question. I had a friend of mine tell me that, okay, Jesus raised a dead man from the dead. Now, which is harder, raising a man from death or healing cancer? And that last part really got to me, because it's as though that my friend was saying to me, you know, if you really have this faith in Jesus Christ that he'll heal from cancer, then you'll get your loved one back from cancer. And I kind of have an issue with that, because my mother died from cancer 4 years ago. I'm a strong Christian. I trust God. I believe that he can heal if he wants to heal. But, you know, it's the same kind of, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity type teaching of, well, your mother died because you didn't have enough faith. And I'm having a real problem here. Can you help me?
Sure. And the typical proof text for this is Isaiah 53:5, which says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And so the Word of Faith teachers will quote this passage over and over again to their audiences as proof positive that if you have faith in faith as a force, words being the containers of the force, you'll be able to speak into existence your healing. But if you look at this passage closely, you find out that nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, Isaiah could hardly make it clear that he had spiritual healing in mind when he communicates that Messiah was to be pierced for our transgressions, he was to be crushed for our iniquities. Transgressions, iniquities. In other words, sin. And Peter builds on that understanding when he says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And then Peter says, to add emphasis to the point, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. So his theme is clear. He says that Christ bore our sins. This does not have to do, therefore, with sicknesses. And Peter makes it plain, the healing, therefore, is spiritual, not physical. Now, what's interesting is there is a text that precedes it. And it does speak of healing of the body. Remember where Isaiah says, surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. So not only is physical healing crystal clear in that context, but it's also affirmed by the Gospels, most particularly the Gospel that you cited, John chapter 11. But there's an important qualification. Matthew says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word, healed all the sick, and then says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases. So the healing mentioned in Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled during the healing ministry of Christ and does not guarantee our healing today. Now, having said that, that does not mean that healing cannot happen. But when it does happen, it's non-normative. If it were normative, we wouldn't be calling them miracles. Even beyond that, where are your faith friends going to point to an example of, let's say, an Iraq war veteran that's lost a limb, a leg, or an arm, suddenly having that leg or arm reappear? Could God do that? Yes. But does he do that? Well, the kind of miracle that I'm talking about here is conspicuous by its absence in the Word of Faith movement. They talk about them from time to time, but whenever you press them for the facts, you end up with no details whatsoever. They don't know the name of the person. They don't know how old they were, where they lived, the circumstances around which they lost a limb. Look, I've been at this for a long time, and I have done the follow-up. I've done my homework. And when you get to the asking of specifics, you simply don't get an answer. So what they're doing, in essence, you know, just to round this off, is in addition to the loss that you have experienced, they're piling guilt upon you in the process.
Yeah. So what do I do when someone throws that guilt on me that I did not have enough faith? How do I respond to these people?
Well, you instruct them with gentleness and with respect. As you said, you're conversant with the scriptures, and that's what you do. What you do is you lead them gently through the scriptures and show them the errors of their way. Now, if they want to listen, then you have won someone over. If they don't want to listen, you can't force feed them. So what I always say is that the key is to be prepared, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.